Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The concept of humility is a difficult one to reconcile with our self-seeking, achievement-oriented culture. But humility is key to living a Christ-like Christian life. Donald McKim, in the Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms, defines humility as the proper valuing of oneself and proper love of oneself in contrast to pride. Now, while love is the key defining characteristic of a Christian, humility places love in its proper context and proper proportion. Loving oneself is necessary and appropriate. Too much love of oneself leads to unhealthy pride and arrogance. Too much love of oneself can lead to disregarding others, forgetting to love God and neighbor. Humility is proper valuing of oneself. Humility is proper love of oneself. I remember visiting with a pastor at my church before I went to seminary about the meaning of love, particularly agape, the love God has for us and tells us to have for each other. I defined agape as self-sacrificial love. And he suggested to me that a better definition is unconditional love. That distinction has stayed with me, and I believe is critically important. If we emphasize self-sacrifice, we can become unhealthy in ways that undermine the meaning of true godly love. Consequently, it is important to recognize that Jesus is not encouraging self-sacrifice for the sake of self-sacrifice. And overemphasis on self-sacrifice can become what is sometimes called a martyr complex. Have you ever known someone that wants everyone to know just how much they're giving up? Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, you go ahead. I'll just stay here and suffer while you go out and enjoy yourself." It seems they are wallowing in enjoying their suffering and making everyone around them feel guilty. This is not healthy humility. Also, healthy humility is not allowing someone to be abusive. Healthy humility is not enabling someone else's inappropriate behavior. Healthy humility is not debasing oneself for the sake of being debased. So what is healthy humility? Contrary to seeking sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice, notice that the context of today's scripture passage is a feast. Jesus has been invited to eat at a feast. The Greek word here is more than just a meal. It's something translated as wedding feast. At such a meal, the guests are ranked in places of honor, very much like we do with the place cards at formal meals, showing who's going to sit next to whom. Luke uses the context of the feast many times in his gospel to represent the kingdom of God. It is important to note that the kingdom is a happy, festive place. It's not an opportunity for self-denial. This passage relies on some knowledge of Palestinian wedding feast, in which the male guests recline on couches, with the center couch being the place of honor, its inhabitants chosen according to wealth, power, or office. If a more prominent man arrives late, and it would normally have been a man back then, as is often the case, someone of lesser rank is asked to move to a less prestigious location. Jesus is not only offering sound practical advice to choose the lowest place so you can be invited up, but he is also pointing to something deeper and richer. Jesus uses this feast, as he does many times in the Gospel of Luke, as an opportunity for a teaching moment, or what eminent scholar Joseph Fitzmyer calls a dinner table discourse. Today's scripture begins with verse 7. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. However, what follows is not what I normally think of as a parable. I think of a parable as Jesus illustrating a point by telling a story or using an illustration. I learned in preparing this sermon that the Greek word parabole is also used to translate the Hebrew word, which is commonly proverb. That makes particular sense when we consider Proverbs 25, 6 through 7, which reads, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Sounds familiar. So like many of Jesus' teaching moments, he uses a familiar teaching or situation to make his point. Jesus begins with a proverb that is likely to be familiar to his hearers and expands on it to make his point that living in the kingdom of God does not involve self-seeking. Rather than emphasizing the point of being self-sacrificial, Jesus is emphasizing that places of honor in the kingdom of God are gifts of God, not matters of personal choice. Indeed, it is much better to have God lift us up than for us to place ourselves in positions of honor. Jesus expands on this concept, as he so often does, by extending the teaching from the guest to the host. Not only should the guest be seeking advantage, neither should the host. The host should be inviting those who are not in a position to advance the host, but those who are in need. Jesus does this by contrasting four common guests: friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, with four disadvantaged classes of persons: poor, crippled, lame, and blind. This brings to mind the admonition of Jesus that whoever helps the least of these helps him. Jesus is again emphasizing God's love for the unlovely and our call to serve those in need. It has been said that a society can be judged by how it helps those who cannot repay. That is what Jesus is saying to the host. The kingdom is not about self-seeking personal advantage. God will take care of that. If we are doing God's work, we are seeking the advantage of others unconditionally. Unconditional love means love that is not seeking a return. Unconditional love means I love you without knowing that I will somehow reap a benefit from that love. The unconditional love of God is like the host of the banquet, who's not looking for what advantage he can glean by inviting prominent guests. Jesus not only taught humility, he lived it. In the words of Paul, and this is from Philippians 2, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself," you could say humbled himself, "taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The Christian life is not about storing up spiritual brownie points. The Christian life invites us to grow into a deeper relationship with God, which is not something we can work our way into through acts designed to display our worth. Jesus wants us to understand that our all-too-human drive to seek the best seat in the house or at the party is not showing Christian love or humility. Jesus' personal examples of healing and table fellowship became metaphors of the kingdom of God, where they will come from east and west, from north and south, and eat at table in the kingdom of God. When we come to the table and serve each other, we act on Jesus' example of what the kingdom of God is truly like. May we live as Jesus demonstrated, lives of true love and humility. Amen. having heard the word of God read and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe using the printed confession in your bulletin from the Confession of Belgium.